Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Monday, January 23rd. Today, we're talking to Colorado Sun outdoor reporter Jason Blevins about the latest developments in the effort to make Sweetwater Lake in Garfield County Colorado's next state park. Before we begin, the Colorado Sun's inaugural Best of the Colorado Sun is officially open for voting. Vote for your favorite businesses and people across the state now through February 28th. You can cast your vote once per region. Visit coloradosun.com/bestof to vote today. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. Quote, the Pueblo was deathly quiet. Stillness also enveloped the boat alongside. No orders came from it, no yells. The feeling was one of hearing a last breath followed by the silence of death. The Pueblo died at 2:30 p.m. on January 23, 1968, on the high seas off Wonsan. Thus wrote Lieutenant Carl Schumacher of the USS Pueblo, captured in the Sea of Japan by North Korea. Of all the vessels to bear names related to Colorado, none boasts a history as dramatic as the Pueblo, whose title refers to both the city and the county. Built as a supply ship during World War II, it served until 1954. A dozen years later, it was recommissioned ostensibly for environmental surveys, but its true purpose was espionage. Stocked with the latest surveillance and communications equipment, the Pueblo set out from Japan in early January 1968 under the command of Lieutenant Commander Lloyd Boucher. Its mission to shadow the Russian and North Korean coasts seemed dull until North Korean ships and airplanes opened fire on it on January 23rd. Boucher chose surrender over the death of his entire crew. One sailor received a mortal wound, and the other 82 Americans on board attempted to destroy all classified equipment and documents before the takeover. North Korean agents subjected the Pueblo survivors to months of mental and physical torture, while family members of the hostages organized a Remember the Pueblo campaign back home to lobby for their release. The federal government issued an apology to the North Koreans for spying, and on December 23rd, exactly 11 months after their capture, the crew was bused to the South Korean border and released. The Pueblo was later moved to a river berth in the DPRK capital of Pyongyang, where Supreme Leader Kim Jong-un rededicated it as an anti-American museum on July 27, 2013, the 60th anniversary of the Korean War armistice. Still listed on the U.S. Navy's active roster, the vessel represents a symbol of the nation and the state of Colorado, held hostage in North Korea. Before we continue, a quick message. The Colorado Sun presents The Next Food Revolution, Growing Greens in the Air, with environment reporter Michael Booth. Join the virtual event on February 9th to hear how a company is using a storage container to grow crops, how CU Boulder is growing greens in a sunroom, and much more. Register for the free event at coloradosun.com/events. Next, our feature story.
Welcome to the Colorado Sun podcast, everyone, and thanks for listening today. I am David Krause, one of the team editors here at the Colorado Sun, and I am pumped, as always, to be here for another Monday session with Sun Outdoor reporter Jason Blevin. What is going on, Jason Blevins?
Yeah, DK, doing well.
Yeah, good weather up here in the mountains the last few days. This week's snow's been good, so been a lot of fun up here. Hey, let's talk today about what you wrote an update about last week, Sweetwater Lake up in Garfield County. There's been a push for the past couple of years, make it a state park. Why don't you get us up to speed and maybe our listeners on what's going on up there? The Sweetwater Lake, for those of you who might not know, is in the White River National Forest, kind of northeast of Glenwood Springs. And they want to make it a state park up there, but there seems to be a growing amount of pushback. Jason, what's been going on the last few months?
Yeah, Sweetwater Lake is supposed to be the state's 43rd state park. 2019, the Eagle Valley Land Trust got together and worked with the Conservation Fund, created a Save the Lake campaign, raised a bunch of money. The White River National Forest raised a bunch of money through the Land and Water Conservation Fund and acquired this property, 488 acres, about a 90-acre lake out there. Beautiful property. Over the years, past 30, 40 years, there's been 7-8 owners who have dreamed about golf courses and luxury development. It's a beautiful valley, kind of up above the Colorado River in Garfield County there, just past Dotsero. And October 21, the Forest Service and Colorado Parks and Wildlife announced this one-of-a-kind plan, the first ever federally owned, state-managed park. CPW is going to, Colorado Parks and Wildlife, going to run the recreation, manage the recreation at the park. It's going to be part of the White River National Forest. Seems like there in October 21, when Governor Polis stood on a bluff overlooking the lake, that it was going to be just smooth sailing from there on out. But the folks out in Sweetwater, about 100 people live out there in Sweetwater, and this little corner of Colorado just hasn't been touched a lot by it. It's hard to get to. Not a lot of development. These different owners have not really been investing in the property. So here comes a big plan. And there's, you know, some bumps in the road as we make a state park at the end of a remote dirt road in the middle of nowhere. Beautiful access to wilderness there up the flat tops. Some community members are saying they might not want to work with the Forest Service anymore. They're pretty frustrated with the process, and there's this process underway right now where they're trying to sort of come up with alternatives. What could this park look like? What will this, you know, public property eventually look like? And they're going to study all those options through the National Environmental Policy Act review process, very intensive environmental review process. And as we're sort of in this pre-NEPA process, trying to figure out how these guys are going to build this park, there's a lot of different concerns. So this community group is working with them, working with the Forest Service, saying they don't know if they want to keep supporting it. There's a long-term operator that's been up there for 40 years and sort of concessionaire working at that park, running hunting trips into the wilderness, Flat Tops Wilderness. And she's frustrated. She can't use the buildings that she's used forever and ever now that they're federally owned. They're been deemed uninhabitable. So lots of changes happening pretty swiftly up there in this remote corner of Colorado. And kind of understandable that some of the folks in that community that have not seen a lot of change over the years are a little frustrated with the pace and sort of, I guess, the scope of what's happening in their small, quiet corner of Colorado.
Yeah, and it didn't get off to the greatest start either, right? Back, like you mentioned, in October 2021, when Governor Polis went out there and Scott Fitzwilliams with the Forest Service was out there, and they're like, hey, we're going to do this cool thing. And the Garfield County commissioners are like, hey, nobody talked to us about this. And, you know, the Sweetwater Lake people were like, hey, nobody really asked our opinion. Do you think they're getting past that? Or do you think that might have some of this, hey, 2 years later, what are we doing? And, you know, what are we going to get heard?
And that is the fundamental issue. There was, you know, the way it was announced, you know, Garfield County commissioners showed up at this announcement and they were asking, you know, a couple of them were asking me like, hey, Jason, what's happening? And I was very surprised to hear that the commissioners of this county did not know that the plan was to, you know, make the state park. There were community members there saying, do you know what Governor Polis is going to announce today? You know, everybody knew that it was going into the Forest Service. There was just the process of involving the state. The idea is that the White River National Forest is going to find a partner in CPW to help manage this park because CPW has more money and they have more ability to kind of manage a state park than maybe the Forest Service. Obviously, the most trafficked U.S. force in the nation is the White River National Forest. So they're stressed in a lot of ways, and they needed a partner, and they found a partner in CPW. The way it rolled out, it sort of broke some trust. So there's been a rebuilding process with the Forest Service and CPW working with these folks on the ground, and the folks on the ground are a little frustrated. You know, it's kind of been folks in that community, you know, they want to make sure that there's not going to be just, you know, imagine a bunch of RVs and hundreds of cars and visitors every day up and down their road. You know, as the plan started to unfold and the idea of a state park, something along the lines of maybe a Sylvan Lake, which is a very highly trafficked park, began to, you know, take shape. Those folks in that community were like, well, maybe we would have been better with a golf course or a water bottling plant or, you know, a private owner who just shut the place up and left it to their, as their own little playground, you know? So in many ways, this whole issue kind of boils down to, you know, what is public protection of our natural resources? Folks over in Sweetwater are saying, hey, you know, is it unlimited recreation and traffic and camping and people coming, you know, every day as much as they want? Or is there a way to control traffic? Is there a way to limit these impacts and control recreation? Really kind of some fundamental issues that you see mirrored across Colorado, really, in the Western Slope as we start to manage recreation on public lands, increasing recreation, yeah.
Jason, do you think it's fair to say that maybe the state and the feds didn't quite read the room correctly as far as the local input goes? Or because the past ones, state parks they've done, right? It seems like they've had a little more process to it.
Like, say, the most recent new park was Trinidad, Fisher's Peak State Park. A lot of interest and support on the ground out there in Southern Colorado for this process. As they delineate trails and define the recreation up there, where can they hunt? Where can they take motorcycles? Where can they hike? How can you get to the peak? That's been some robust conversation out there, but generally a large support in Trinidad for that Fisher's Peak State Park. That might not be totally the case up in Sweetwater. You can't say that everybody in Sweetwater is excited to have a state park in their backyard. That is not true. So I think what we're seeing is these folks on the ground saying, how can we maintain like no motorized traffic, hiking and horses and, you know, the traditional uses, the historical use of these buildings, the historical use of these areas, kind of a lot of the families that lived up there are multi-generational. They've been up there forever. Their parents moved up there. Their grandparents have been living up there. They're raising their kids up there. So it's, you know, there's a lot of concern over how you can protect the natural resource as well as the lifestyle for those community members up there.
So, Jason, last thing, you wrote last week from the CPW meeting, Colorado Parks and Wildlife meeting, where they were talking about Sweetwater. What's the next couple of months look like as far as this conversation goes?
Yeah, so they're, you know, working towards NEPA. The Colorado Parks and Wildlife needs to secure a long-term operating permit, a 25-year permit from the Forest Service. That's underway. Garfield County thinks that in order for CPW to get a permit to run a state park on national forest land, they should go through NEPA for that permit. That's a hugely contentious issue. Garfield County commissioners are not super supportive of it. Community on the ground out there is sort of wavering and shaky on its support. And the Colorado Parks and Wildlife Commission last week, one of the commissioners asked, you know, hey, is it, we haven't signed anything yet. Is it too late for us to walk away from this? That certainly caused some concern. CPW is very invested in this process. Obviously, Governor Polis is really wants this to become a state park. So the process is in, you know, on sort of rough ground right now. And hopefully, you know, we can get through this. There's a lot of commitment to the state park. A lot of folks saying, hey, you know, stay on task. Put your head down. We can make this happen. It will take some sacrifice. It will take compromise. But, you know, who's going to give first and how much they're going to give and what that give is going to look like in terms of people on the ground out there in Sweetwater, that's going to be defined here in the coming year.
Interesting stuff, Jason. Thanks. Thanks a lot. It'll be interesting to see how it develops. So I'm sure you'll stay on it and keep us updated. But really interesting how it's been going on for 2 years and kind of continues to evolve. So I want to thank Jason for joining us today and giving the update. And I want to thank our listeners for joining us today. If you want to read more about the Colorado outdoors, I encourage you to sign up for Jason's weekly Outsider newsletter. It comes out every Thursday morning. You can look that up at coloradosun.com/newsletters. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, DK.
You can read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. The Colorado legislature wants to make it easier for kids across the state to access free therapy by creating a program in which students 6th through 12th grade can get an in-school mental health assessment. If approved, the bill would allow public schools to opt into the program, which would be run by the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. Parents could opt their child out of the assessment. While the cost hasn't been determined, the bill's sponsors hope it will be covered by federal funding and Medicaid. A group of farmers want Colorado to become a leader in the growing movement of farming under and between rows of solar panels. At Jack's Solar Garden south of Longmont, herbs, berries, vegetables, and hay are flourishing around a 24-acre solar array that powers 300 homes. It is the largest commercially active research facility in the country for agrivoltaics, a land use model that combines agriculture with solar power. The concept is still young, but it has caught the attention of a couple of state legislators who want to fund more research. A Colorado Senate bill, dubbed the Job Application Fairness Act, is pretty straightforward. It calls for removing any part of a job application asking about age, including graduation dates from high school or college. The bill joins others introduced in recent years addressing workplace equity for Coloradans of all genders, backgrounds, and abilities. It also comes at a time when the state really needs more workers and adults nearing retirement age or beyond it who are seen as an underutilized workforce. There are exceptions in the bill, including occupations with age limits, such as commercial pilots. For more information on all of these stories, visit our website, coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again on Monday. Now, a quick message from our editor.
I'm Larry Rickman, editor and co-founder of the Colorado Sun. The Sun is a public benefit corporation, and we rely on the support of listeners and readers like you to produce the nonpartisan, in-depth news that Colorado needs and deserves. Please consider becoming a Sun member for just $5 a month. Learn more at coloradosun.com. Thanks.